I'm Wes Shank, the host of the Missouri Wind and Solar Podcast, coming to you from our store in Seymour, Missouri. We hope you'll enjoy our discussions on renewable energy and the products that make that possible. Thank you for downloading our podcast, and we hope you'll subscribe. We're out in the shop with Matt and Wyatt, and I know it's kind of odd. We're going to do something that you would probably think a video would probably be better, but we're just out here. We're going to put together an all-in-one board. We're going to talk through it on the podcast today. You're going to hear stuff running in the background. It's probably going to sound like the Prairie Home Companion, where they got the sound effects guy in the back. I am currently standing exactly in Matt's way for everything he's trying to do. We've got Wyatt out here, and we've talked with Wyatt before. He's going to fill in the blanks with us on what we're doing and why we're doing it with this with the all-in-one board. Wyatt, just start out. Where do we typically put the all-in-one boards in for? Where's this one going to go?
Yeah, this will go to somebody who wants all the bits and pieces breaks combined and
so wired winter. Together. First off, the wind turbine.
So yeah, it'll handle solar too. So it's a hybrid, and it's got all your stuff mounted to it, even an inverter.
Yeah, 12 and 24 volt, either option.
Just tell me, get out of the way.
In your way.
There's a spot right here for you.
Let me move this back.
No,
get in the corner.
In the corner. So what are you doing here? So you're
stripping wires on the brake switch, getting it in the box.
Okay, so brake switch, great thing to talk about. When we came up this morning, we rolled into the store this morning, none of our turbines were spinning. And I think that was just because the wind was dead outside. But
yeah,
this is what you put a brake switch in for. Tell me what you do that.
Matt's got this.
Go for it, Matt.
Brake switch is to for when your batteries get full up, really high wind, stormy, just keeps from tearing up your equipment, overvolt, mainly spinning the dang thing too fast.
What's it? What is it? Free spin? Or is that something else?
Spin is just nothing. It's just up there in the wind blowing.
Okay.
There's no load against it.
Three wires on that? Is it three wires on? Well, actually six, but yeah, three.
Yeah, actually there's nine on the back of that brake switch.
Okay.
One solid bar all across three of them to break it. Center one, red one, for your load.
Okay.
Yeah, the brake switch is beats taking down your turbine in a storm.
Does it engage the magnet so that it can't spin? I mean, is that?
Pretty much, yeah. What it does is it shorts out the three phases when you put it into brake. Basically, the magnetism has nowhere to go, and it might not be a dead stop.
Yeah, because they still spin a little bit, but it like puts a load out there on them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it also disconnects the turbine from the batteries or anything beyond that brake switch.
And we got the air compressor kicking on in the background so we can properly blow up balloons and stuff back here for
Halloween balloons.
Halloween balloons.
We pretty much make the brake switches from scratch. We solder on our own wires, punch holes out of the boxes.
Keep going, man.
Drill the holes in the lids, sticker, mount, lug, solder. A lot of work goes in that little thing.
Made in the
USA.
As much as we can. Don't let us hold you.
So does this one get an inverter? Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, this board, it comes with or without an inverter. Is that right?
With or without. Don't exactly come without, because then it's just...
This is compact. This is a compact, more compact board, isn't it?
Yeah.
Than our larger one.
It is. 6 inches narrower. Same length, 6 inches narrower.
What is this?
Solder gun.
Oh, man, that's a nice one. It's just a cheap old, it's a pretty Radio Shack cast off. It's a real deal.
It is a nice one. I wish they made a little bigger tips for it.
Anybody who has bigger tips for...
Yeah.
Lightest tip they make for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it makes it awful hard to do bigger gauge wire. Right now I'm just soldering the switch to the rectifier. Before I mount it on the board.
Yeah, the
from the magic of podcasting, this is where you all don't wait for it to warm up.
That quick. Make it a little fatter there. Feed near as much.
What are you soldering on?
I'm soldering 10 in the red wires on the brake switch and getting ready to do the rectifier. 90 amp, which you get with the 12 volt. The fun hot part.
Yeah, man, when I do this, it looks like some chew it and spit it.
Yeah, it takes a little bit.
There are some tricks to it, ain't there?
Say a little bit.
Oh, wow. The bathroom remodel recently, and I did the copper soldering.
Copper sweat.
Oh, God. There's probably $200 worth of solder on there because I kept having to redo it.
Influx, that's pretty much cleans it of any impurities on the copper lug ends. Helps it to flash a lot faster to where you don't have to hold it on there as long. Because you think that's, you know, 800 degrees right there. You're holding on to a lug. So you only want just a couple seconds. See how much better.
Oh,
you can tell good solder by how shiny it is compared to how dull. But a lot of it's in the solder you're using too. And you can watch it flash, get real shiny. That's when it's ready. And when you let off of it, it'll cloud up just a hair and it'll be stuck. It's there forever.
That's a real knack.
And it gets real hot real quick.
Can you solder that well?
Maybe not. So, putting quick hookup terminals for the brake switch makes it real easy to attach your wind turbine to it.
I get loud for a second.
All right, visit me.
Just hook your three wires in and screw them down. This one's farther than the other one.
Now Matt is drying his beard. Put a little gel in there this morning and got a...
It is Halloween. Had to dress up. Had to go something different than normal. Put sleeves on.
Yeah. His ballerina outfit with the sleeves. What is it we were talking about? My face is a face for a podcast. That's a big friggin' fuse.
100 amp. That is just about what all were 12 volt, all in one boards, digital boards get.
what kind of fuse is that in comparison to, I mean, I know old house fuse, a car fuse.
Yeah, they're more specifically C fuses, the alternate, a resettable breaker. But a fuse obviously protects the, fuse actually protects the wiring, you know, fuse from here to there.
I mean, that's the big challenge in the whole situation. It's the heat. Pretty much everything about this, managing the heat.
Managing. You know, sometimes your batteries get full, and then you have to have a place for the power to go.
I mean, even our... Go ahead, Matt.
I need a relay.
12 volt?
Yep.
Man, as we're putting this together, we're mounted it on a sheet of metal, and it's...
18 by 24.
But it's got at least what, an inch, 3/4 inch off,
half to 3/4
offset. So we're even making sure that's offset from whatever it's going up against.
Yeah, it's spaced out away from the wall to put it on.
Because even that, we're going to have heat that we're concerned about there.
Yeah.
And now this relay, what is it?
That's our most used relay. It basically switches the power battery to diversion. It'll connect and disconnect the solar at the same time. And it's usually doing that when your batteries are full and controlled by the charge controller.
Now, this is one of the things that I had to learn the hard way back in the day. We're connecting up the cabling right. This was one of those dumb son-in-law moments with Jeff early on when he got me a solar panel.
I've never had one of those, no.
Huh?
I've never had a dumb moment with him, no.
Solar panel outside, obvious thing to do is to get some underground wire, AC of course, nice, thick, solid copper wire, and then wonder why the solar panel's not getting any output at all.
You didn't read the book.
Of course not. Who reads?
We just like to push buttons.
So you use solid house wire, basically?
Oh, yeah. No, but good stuff, though, man. It was underground.
Okay.
It was made for underground, because I was putting it out there. But this cable right here, man, this is a big old honking cable, too, now.
Yeah.
That's Matt putting the resistors on. We're going to talk about them in just a second. But that's a, go ahead, Don. But is
I don't
that
know
a,
how many more screws he has.
is that automotive? I mean, is that where that typically comes from?
Yeah, well, this could be used in automotive, but mainly it's sold as welding cable. Welding
there you go. Okay, yeah. That's right. I knew that. I knew better than that. But it's a
good high temperature cable. It's abrasion resistant.
And it's stranded.
It's stranded.
that's the big thing. I mean, I think speaker wire would have been better than the wire that I was. I'd have got better results out of it.
Well, for example, this number 4 cable, it probably has 200 to 300 individual strands it's made of.
Versus one.
Yeah. And it does not like to bend very well.
Oh. Yeah, the solid cable is a bear when it comes to bending.
I mean, in these applications like that, I mean, you couldn't have two thick of a gauge, could you? I mean, you couldn't overkill it.
No, you can always.
You could under, but never over.
Right, you can always go bigger than table, unless there's some special reason why you shouldn't, but the bigger the cable, the cooler it'll run.
Okay.
The less power loss.
Yeah, that's.
You got a hot cable, you lose power.
Exactly, there you go. I mean, it makes total sense.
The nice thing about stranded is, well, you know, one, it's more flexible, and two, when the inside of a wire becomes warm, even solid cable or each one of these strands, the inside become the electricity will go toward the outside, which is cooling off because it's touching air. So you have a lot more surface area for the electricity to flow on with a stranded cable versus a solid.
Okay.
Nerdy tidbit.
No, I would imagine that is our audience. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's, you know, and when I think our last podcast, I think it was our last, we were talking with McDerris about, you know, batteries and, you know, heat's our enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, how we use heat to dump electricity, that's the most efficient way to get rid of.
Right.
To get rid of anything we've overproduced. And so.
Yeah, the resistors are pretty much, you know, they're fail-proof. Ceramic rod with resistive wire wrapped around, and they just get hot. You know?
Yeah, and that, and just so you guys know, we've moved. That's what Wyatt and I are successfully watching Matt do. This is great straw boss moment. Wyatt and I are both holding up a couple of countertops here while Matt is.
I'm not the greatest multitasker. I can drink a cup of coffee.
I am incredibly successful at watching work be done. So we've actually put the resistors on. We've got actually a screen on top of that just to keep anything from accidentally falling up against them.
Anything or anybody accidentally touching it, because they do get pretty warm.
So you would have a new and unusual tattoo on your hand.
Yes,
you
would.
Touch
very
that
quickly.
Resistor any time.
Very quickly. Yeah, I think we read temperature out on some of them out there in the wind tunnel, and we was getting pretty high temps out of them.
Oh yeah, he was out there testing the new. Is it the VRD?
VRD.
Man, he was smoking those things out there.
Yeah, in which all of them come, they'll have a little bit of smoke right off the bat just to clean them off from whatever oils or,
yeah,
you know.
But just saying, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And
they were.
They did them well, too. Now what are we putting on?
This is the controller, pretty much the brain of the board.
It is literally the little black box.
It literally is. It's what tells everything to do what it does. Charge the batteries, or dump the turbine, dump the solar, because your batteries are full.
And now we program that here, don't we?
We do. We program it, we wire it. It just comes to us in a little black box with a circuit board in it. We do the rest.
And that's just one of the, I mean, that was one of the great things about the company is, you know, we're out here in the shop. I mean, this where this is being put together. It's not on a boat coming from China.
Overseas somewhere.
I mean, now, unfortunately, a lot of our parts we have to source, but we try to do as much as we can here in the States.
Yeah. wire clamps keep these dudes out of each other's way. Ready loaded. Long 2.5 screws, right?
Now, what is this block?
This is the rectifier, which turns your AC power three phase into your DC power. Make it all nice and square with everything else. You know, just like a car. Nice straight curves, lines.
So you were you asking about heat, so, or did we cover that?
I think we talked a good deal about heat. I'm curious a little bit about the rectifier.
Okay. Well, the rectifier, that's what the rectifier does is it's a pack of diodes, and diodes only allow electricity. There's six diodes in there, and they're arranged in such a way to where your three-phase AC in, you know, alternate comes in, and you've got two wires out. You've got a positive and a negative, and those will be pretty much the DC. From three-phase AC, it'll change into DC.
So while Wyatt and I have been successfully discussing this, Matt has continued on his path unimpeded by our intellectual discussion, is now
putting the last component on, the inverter.
While Wyatt is teaching me about the rectifier, Matt installed it.
That was quite fast, but he made me look bad.
It's almost as if he has done this once before. Or at least saw a YouTube video how to do it.
I started off pretty good.
And so we're putting an Ames 2000 inverter in here. 2000 watt continuous and 4000 watt surge. Mm-hmm.
And it's got USB port, digital display.
This is really a nice one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it's got a remote, kind of saves your battery.
Would you grab me one of them resistors? And
it's a resistor and capacitor. And what you do is we put that over the mechanical relay, the 440 amp relay, and we put that over the solar connection on the bottom. So basically what it does is it's ran in parallel with your solar wire. What it does is it absorbs voltage spikes when the contacts inside open and close. There'll be some arcing. There'll be some arcing, you know, arc flashing. And it'll absorb it.
Then dissipate it?
And then dissipate it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
In the resistor. When the contacts open, for a second, the electricity has nowhere to go, so the capacitor.
That's kind of interesting. So what is that? Is that just some kind of ceramic?
Uh-huh, yeah. The resistive wire runs inside of it. They cast it inside
of it. It's like a little heater bar from your ceramic heater.
I guess I'll put it on there while he's...
There you go.
Actually, is that flow? Same as the three-phase mat?
Yep. Should be to the left.
Okay.
So we actually have Wyatt installing part of the board. So while I've been allowed to install none, so this is probably a lot of wisdom on Matt's part.
Those need a little more snugging. If you need it.
I don't know about wisdom.
Wait for Matt to come and
talk. These are fun to put on. That is our pneumatic crimping.
Or as he calls it, me giving an alien CPR.
CPR machine. It's quick work of big 2-aught, 4-aught lugs.
It definitely make quick work of a pancake finger if you got it in there. Definitely for a reason.
Yeah. So we're doing up some more
inverter
cables.
Yeah, he's using a heat gun on the dual wall heat shrink. Well, heat shrink with glue on the inside, and basically that shrinks down to your wire and your terminal, and then the glue seals it up.
I didn't realize they had glue on them.
They have the glue on the inside.
Okay.
And that keeps the environment out of the connection. You'll notice a lot of times, you know, on your car battery cable, the positive will be corroded up.
Come see Matt at Missouri Wind. He can fix you up a new cable.
But, you know, we carry the heat shrink. You really get to get that with your lugs and your wire. Can use a blow dryer, a flame thing. Blow dryer, I'll probably.
I found the blow gun or blow dryer is 10 times better than a flame. The flame don't seem to shrink it, it just seems to burn it.
And I will say, every time I've tried to do it with the flame, it ends up, let me do it again.
Black, it don't seem to shrink it.
Let me do it, okay, one more time.
Just one more.
Here's some new solder. If you're done with that, though.
Now is the fun part, trying to fish number two wire in this hole without making it look like Albert Einstein's hair after he got electrocuted. Or whoever that was, Ben Franklin.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Wow, even someone watching.
Let me know if I can help down like that. There's nothing more frustrating than thinking Allen nut that you can't do like that straight up.
And on this board, there's actually more room than say on our non-digital with the HVA. There's half that room.
I'll go on and get some more.
And then you can never seem to get the Allen wrench perfect. So you're always fighting it, and then for some reason you'll get it in there and you'll turn it backwards. No, you're fine.
It's usually not just.
Yeah, just gotta have two people staring at you to get it in there right. That's two of them, not a single strand.
You don't want to be embarrassed for the pot.
Takes a lot to embarrass me.
Said the man who was Robin Hood for.
That's right, tights and all.
Got the last part, hooking up the fuse to the inverter.
Yeah, last step would be just to program this controller. Make sure everything works good, test it a little bit before we send it out. Give it the seal of approval.
And a sticker.
Okay. A little bit of cardboard we put in on top of the resistors in between it and the cage, just to keep the cage out of the resistors in shipment. Be sure to remove them.
Okay.
That's important. Go ahead, Wyatt. I'll let you program it.
Okay.
Oh, are we going to tighten up that?
No.
That?
No. Because they'll put their cables on it when it gets there. We'll put a little reference mark on the resistor and the relay so they know which way it needs to go back on if it comes off.
You got to plug it in, hook it up, for it to work. Alrighty. So at this point, you're running power to it to kind of run a mock test of what's would actually happen out.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, we've got to
do a simulation.
We got to program it. Buttons. 14.4 will be the high. 13.6 it'll release. There's a voltage display correction. I just simulate your battery getting to 14.4 volts, which is full. Right there.
I heard a massive clank in there. What was that? That was something doing what it was supposed to do.
That was the relay. And so I'm holding it at like 4.6. 13.6. There's that secondary countdown. If your battery gets full again, it will hold the diverter a longer period of time. And then double that.
So are we good to go?
Testing relays popping like it should. And this one should be ready to ship out to our customer.
Good to go. Okay. Well, excellent. Well, again, I always want to thank everybody for tuning in, checking out the podcast. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Wyatt. We'll come back out here when we're building some other stuff at some other point in time. If you'd like to see this all-in-one unit, check out our website, mwands.com. There's several of these. We've got how many of these we've got out. But check them out. Buy one. Matt will build it for you.
Yep.
Wyatt will tighten two screws for you. Matt will do all the rest. and buy our products. That keeps us coming out with podcasts and videos. If you need to learn about the all-in-one, check out our YouTube videos. Ton of YouTube videos. I know there are several of them about the all-in-ones out there. And we'll keep this stuff coming out to you so you can keep learning about it, and we'll keep building stuff so you can keep buying stuff. Appreciate all of you tuning in today. Look for us next week, and we'll have another show for you. Thanks a lot.